You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear us anytime you'd like at willag.org. You know, over time, yields of crops grown in Illinois have increased. That due, in large part, to technological advances. The ag economists at the University of Illinois have explored these relationships and released some data on the growth rates and developed some questions as to how those rates have changed by crop. And we'll hear that later in the program as you're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Don't forget that in just a moment we'll talk with the folks at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Later in the program, Bruce Bostard will be here. He's from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator. And along the way, we're going to ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, and pledge your financial support for those radio stations along all of our affiliates. Of course, this is a publicly funded program. That means we're a partnership with the commercial stations, the public station, and you, our listener. And we'd like the listeners to offer up, well, a little financial support this afternoon. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, is with me to tell you how to do it.
And when they partner, they will also be part of an effort from the Common Ground Food Co-op, which is going to donate the cost of three meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every pledge that WILL receives during this mini three-day drive. Make the call now, 217-244-9455. You know, Todd, we've heard from 34 agricultural supporters thus far. My goal personally for this drive was 50. We've heard from four already today during the Closing Market Report. 16 more calls to go to make that total. Let's see if we can get that done today. 217-244-9455, the number to call.
Oh, we've got a lot of calls in, but we need those people to call now. 217-244-9455, a quick rundown of what happened in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. A lot of red there. Futures in the wheat pit were 13 cents lower. Corn futures were down 5.25 in the March. A December contract, 4.25 lower. Bean contracts in Chicago down 17.75 in that nearby contract. November at 9.11.25, down 11 cents on the afternoon. Bean meal off $7.80. Bean oil, a bright spot, I suppose. It was unchanged at 36.15. The Mercantile Exchange numbers finished with some green today. February contract and the live cattle at 85.80, 15 cents higher. March feeders at 98.87.5, up 40. And the Feb lean hogs at 66.50, down 27.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. So if you dial the number yet, 217-244-9455 is the number to dial to pledge your financial support for the closing market report. And it is a partnership in a lot of ways. Dave Dickey works for the radio station here on campus, a public station. I work for University of Illinois Extension. You hear this program on the public licensee from the U of I or on your local radio station. And it may be one of our commercial affiliates. And that last partnership in the chain is you, the listener. We do want you to be involved in this process, please. And you can do that by dialing 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. Another update from the lines?
Well, yes, sir. Now 5 calls in during the Closing Market Report. Todd, 15 to go to meet our goal of 50 for this mini fund drive, 217-244-9455. You know, you talk about the partnership. All of the things that we've done over the last few years is because of our listeners. The YouTube website at Will Ag Markets, a pretty good website, podcast, downloadable MP3 files, the Ag e-newsletter, texting service, a phone service, and an all-day agricultural outlook meeting on March 9th, Todd, that probably rivals anything that you'll see anywhere.
That's a big one, and it's a good one. It's coming up soon. We have lots of great folks coming in for that, too, don't we?
We do indeed, including Chip Flory will be there, Sue Martin will be there, Steve Freed will be there, John Bondurant will be there, and more.
We do markets and weather, and we do it better than anybody else.
Well, at least we try.
All right. That's what we do right here. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. If you agree with us, please do give us a call. The number again, 217-244-9455. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On a Friday afternoon, this is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Mike Zuzolo with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting is with us from his Lafayette, Indiana office. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You can tell that Dave and I are a little excited here, and that's not because of all the red that showed up in the marketplace on this Friday. Can you tell me why it happened?
Well, most of it goes back, I think, to the GDP figures not really giving us a boost that we needed. I mean, I didn't expect the beans to be up 15 cents today, but I didn't expect them to be down 15 to 17 cents either. But when we saw the crude oil swing 3% from a 74.80 high to a 72.40 roughly low, that was a big driver to the Friday rout, as I would dub it, and it kind of just culminated with the rest of the month and kind of put a finishing touch on how a tough month January was this year.
Well, that low, what does it really mean? Is it that low? Is it the bottom end of a range? Is it technically important?
I think it is from a standpoint of all of the charts in the outside markets, or a great number of the charts in the outside markets and the agricultural markets and the commodity sector and the stock sector as a whole technically have come to some major points that could spell continuation and that the momentum would stay on the bearish side of the equation. I don't think that's going to happen, but you don't fight the charts when you're in this kind of a momentum stage, but it doesn't mean you have to be an active seller either. I think the other thing, Todd, it goes back to is we really didn't have much chance, I don't think, to get very much strength built back in the market after the USDA numbers came out, because it came together right with the Chinese wanting to firm up their policy economically so that they slow down their economy. And I think that especially hit the beans and hit the crude oil, and that's where the feed grains, you know, the corn and the wheat, really didn't have much chance to find any support off those two.
Can we stay with China and crude oil for a second? Because I'm making some assumptions here, and I need you to confirm what's really happening. So if we have crude oil down at a low that you say that's fairly important, we have China trying to slow its economy down. Are the two related in the idea that China's slowing economy down, there'll be less consumption of crude oil, and what does that mean longer term? And,
yeah,
and is that and as and is that in a nutshell why you think crude is down, or are there other reasons?
No, I think you hit it on the nose. First of all, there is a very strong correlation between crude oil demand and also the GDP or industrial production. And what we have found in research over the course of the last 100 to 200 years, whether we're talking about the East Texas oil fields in the United States or we're talking about OPEC in the Middle East, when you have a strong demand surge or a demand shock, as you would call it, but you also have new supplies come on board, you don't have to have a big push in prices. But when you have a demand shock come on board and you don't have a lot of new supplies out there, that's where there's a very strong correlation between crude oil demand and also the GDP. Some have put the crude oil demand at like a 0.5 or 0.8 ratio. In other words, where every percentage point increase in GDP globally will bring in 0.8% of increase in crude oil demand globally. And so that's where when we have the U.S. coming in at 5.7% today, China coming in at 10.7% last week, India coming in at 7.5% GDP, earlier this week, I think you can start to make a case that their demand is there. It's not going to go straight down, and maybe we won't get to pre-crisis levels in terms of demand, but that doesn't mean we have to go back and trade 2004, 2003 type demand numbers as far as crude oil prices go. And when you get a bottom in crude oil, I think then you also probably have a top in the dollar, and you don't have to worry about that from a trader psychology standpoint.
Okay, things tend to go a little further than they need to the bottom side or to the top side, one of the two. You gave me some calculations. When you add India, China, U.S. GDP up, and you look at the change, where do you think the marketplace will go for crude? And
well,
then,
I don't
then,
think
then
it,
we can move that through the rest of the commodities.
Yeah, I've been using an inefficient undervalue mindset for the first quarter of this year at about $66.50, and so I'm thinking that you're within $5 a barrel of the very bottom end of the market. Like you say, we go overboard to the upside. We go overboard to the downside in terms of risk premium. I think that the month of February and traditionally is where you put in some major lows in the energy sector because you're seasonally increasing demand. I think the refining capacity going down to 80% or just below 80% is another reason why you might, kind of like the grains, you might have the basis in the cash market here, find the support first and find the bottom first, and then the energy futures picks up on that. I think we saw that this week in the cash corn and beans. We found a lot of bottoming price action in the corn and bean basis around the Midwest. That was very nice to see, even in the midst of this futures route.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our guest on the line this afternoon, Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting Illinois. He'll be back in a moment when we talk with him more about the grains and the oil seed. The director of our ag programming content for IPM is here this afternoon, and he's got another number for you. I know what it is. It's 217-244-9455. That's probably one of many, isn't it, Dave Dickey?
Indeed it is. That's the number to call to pledge your support for agricultural programming. Thus far, we've heard from 7 agricultural supporters this afternoon. 13 more to go to reach that magic 50 number for this drive, a total that I think is where we ought to be. And I really want to try to get that done and accomplished this afternoon with your gracious support. We recommend the $100 level, although Todd thought $120 might work for you today. If you give us at that level, a couple of incentives will go your way as well. You'll get 2-for-1 member benefit cards, and you can also ask the pledge volunteer to get you our spanking new travel mug with our brand new Illinois Public Media logo. Another call just in, 8 calls in now and 12 calls to go. The number to call, 217-244-9455.
That's right, 217-244-9455. You do that while we'll continue our conversation this afternoon with Mike Zuzulo. Okay, Mike, so let's go back to the grains and the oil seeds. Now put those into conjunction with what we talked about in the crude oil. So you're maybe thinking a low coming in the February time frame next month, not very far away. Will the grains and oil seeds do the same? And I guess we have to think about that as a crop insurance setting month, too, and sometimes an acreage battle ensues, but I don't know whether that'll be the case this year or not.
I think it will, Todd. I don't want to go out too much on a line, but I think you have to feed the bear right now at this point when you're talking about the grains and oil seeds. And I know that we're looking at a huge potential crop in South America, but I think, quite frankly, we've traded that for the last 20 days, and I don't think that it's a done deal yet because the month of February really does become a key pod-filling time period and key test weight time period for corn when it comes to the South American crop. So I do feel like that if we can get the outside markets to firm up and find a bottom, the momentum can quickly shift to the point where maybe you're not going to go sharply higher. Maybe you're not going to be able to get to the pre-report levels that we saw back on January 4th, January 5th time period, but you should be able to get a decent-sized retracement just on kind of a vacuum of selling. So I think the message I'm trying to push through right now at this point is we have overlooked a lot of good demand news, in the oil seeds especially, in favor of a lot of bearish supply news. When you tend to do that, you tend to put a bunch of skeletons in the closet, and then eventually those skeletons come running out of the closet. We've got to trade those skeletons once again. So I think that puts us in a feed-the-bear-type mentality. Maybe we'll have several banks collapse, or maybe we'll have a major country default on its credit or its sovereign debt. Maybe something will happen like that to continue to feed the bear, but I think you need to keep feeding that bear at this point.
One final note, because it's the last day of the month, there was an outside-down day, or an outside-down day in Chicago for the corn, and we also put an outside-down month, too, didn't we?
Yes, we did, and we took off about $1.26 on lead-month beans, and we took off about 60 cents on lead-month corn, and going back to your point about the crop insurance, it's going to be really important to see how much premium we can bring back onto those price levels, because if the corn continues to sink, especially the new crop December, if it continues to sink towards the point where you're getting cash corn down to around 330 or 325, you're not going to have much of an acreage battle at that point, because I think a lot of producers will start crunching numbers and saying, I'm going to go more beans, and you kind of have the issue solved by the fact that the corn market would continue to erode at that point. So I think that's one of the biggest concerns. If we don't have a February bottom here, then we will have less of a need for an acreage battle, and that could really play havoc with us later on.
Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd, and good luck. And I appreciate you guys' work ethic.
Thank you so much, Mike. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213.
What's that?
First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
The number to call is 217-244-9455. We've heard from 8 agricultural supporters thus far. 12 to go to meet our goal of 50 for this mini fund drive, 217-244-9455. Remember, when you call now with your contribution, Eastern Illinois Food Bank will receive 3 meals to fight hunger from the Common Ground Food Co-op. Support WILL and help fight hunger, 217-244-9455.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear us anytime you'd like at willag.org. You know, over time, yields of crops grown in Illinois have increased. That due, in large part, to technological advances. The ag economists at the University of Illinois have explored these relationships and released some data on the growth rates and developed some questions as to how those rates have changed by crop.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The article, which can be found on the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu, examines growth rates for the four crops with the largest number of acres in Illinois: corn, soybeans, wheat, and alfalfa. Of the four crops, University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke says the corn has the highest growth rate from 1960 right on through 2009. In the most recent decade, corn growth rates have exceeded that 1960 to 2009 average, while soybeans, wheat, and alfalfa growth rates have been below the 40-year average. Let's start out with some numbers. Over time, a constant percent growth rate implies that trend bushel increase is rising. For example, corn has a 1.9% growth rate over the 1960 through 2009 period. During the 60s, corn yields averaged about 87 bushels to the acre. A 1.9% growth rate implies a 1.7 bushel increase each year. Average corn yield during the 2000s is 162 bushels, and a 1.9% increase yields a 3.1 bushel yearly increase, 1.4 bushels higher than back in the 1960s. Here are what Schnitke terms the geometric averages of growth rates from 1960 through 2009. They're 1.9% for corn, 1.1% for soybean, 1.5% for wheat, and 0.8% for alfalfa. Now, over time, the entire 1960 through 2009 time period, Schnitke says corn had the highest growth rate, followed by wheat, soybean, and then alfalfa, and consequently, corn then had a higher relative yield than the other three crops during the 2000s. He illustrates it this way.
Corn's yields during the decade of 2000, if we average all 10 of those yields together, were on average 86% higher than during the decade of the 1960s. So corn yields were 86% higher in 2000s compared to the decade of the 1960s. The 86% for corn, which again had the highest growth rate, compares to 55% for soybeans, 63% for wheat, 37% for alfalfa. So in a relative sense, corn had higher relative yields during the 2000s because of that higher growth rate.
Schnitke divvied the growth rates up by crop and decade, too. While not statistically different, several features of growth rates by decade do stand out, he says. The first is that the highest decade growth rates for all crops occurred during the 1960s. During the 60s, average growth rates are 4.3% for corn, 2.7% for soybean, 3.9% for wheat, and 2.5% for alfalfa. Now, except for corn, all crops have averaged over the last decade growth rates that were below the long-term average from 1960 to 2009. Soybeans were 0.7% for the 2000s as compared to 1.1. Wheat, negative 0.7 for the 2000s compared to 1.5. Alfalfa, negative 0.5 for the 2000s, compared to 0.8% over the long term from 1960 to 2009.
Recent relatively low growth rates for soybeans, wheat, and alfalfa may simply be due to random chance. We can't say that there's a statistically lower growth rate for those three crops during the decade of the 2000s than the entire 1960 through 2009 period. So the 2010 decade may see some fairly good growth rates for those crops. On the other hand, yield growth rates for soybeans, wheat, and alfalfa may have declined because of some longer-term influences.
For example, says Schnitke, public research, development, and education emphasis has moved away from increasing productivity to placing more emphasis on environmental and other societal concerns. That, along with intense development of hybrid corn in the private sector, could be driving the spread between the yield gains. But it's too early to tell. He says more observations on yields in the future will be needed to provide evidence of whether yield productivity is or is not changing over time. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The number to call is 217-244-9455. Nine calls. We've heard from nine agricultural listeners thus far in the closing market report. 11 more to make our mini goal of 50 for this drive. Be the next at 217-244-9455.
That's right. Dave Dickey is Director of Ag Programming here. My name, of course, Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, and it's a partnership with you, the listener. Today, that partnership extends your back pocket. Financially, we'd like you to give 100, 120, more than that if you can. The number to call is 217-244-9455, or if you're listening online, hit that button at willpledge.org. Speaking of online, on the phone line with us this afternoon is Bruce Bostard, as he is each and every Friday afternoon, to talk about the cash grain market. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I'd almost have to ask, do you still have folks hauling corn in from the field?
We still have some corn coming in from the field at two locations.
And it comes in at what moisture level?
Oh, it's dried down to the low 20s now.
Well, there you go. Finally, about time.
Yeah.
Hey, so how's basis holding up?
Basis has been improving, finally. We spent a long time doing not much of anything, but with the break back over the last couple weeks here on board prices, we have seen the basis react. Started the month at 34 under on corn, and we're at 26 under right now. Beans started the month at 25 under, and today we're at 14. So we've seen some improvement on the nearbys.
How are you doing on holding corn that's on the ground? And I suspect you still have some, though I don't know that factually.
I still have some on the ground, more than I'd like. It's time to start getting it picked up if we can. We've made a dent into one pile so far.
And you made a dent into one pile. Is it in pretty good shape, or is it starting to go? What are you willing to say?
It is manageable, but I've seen better. How's that?
Okay, and you suspect that's the case with most people?
I think that everybody's nervous out here. I mean, actually, the cold weather has been good for us on helping that. It's not like some of the horror stories that you see out there, but I'd feel a lot better when it's picked up and moved out.
All right, Dan, your bids for the day?
We are at $3.31 on nearby corn and $9 on soybeans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. If you haven't dialed this number yet, please do so. It's 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to the Closing Market Report and Agricultural Programming. You can do it online at willpledge.org. Dave Dickey and I like the $100 or $120 level or better. I'll be back in just a moment.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The president of Eastern Illinois University says his campus is ready to implement furlough days to help with the state's financial problems, but have no current plans to. The policy unveiled yesterday by President Bill Perry would provide for up to 24 furlough days in a 12-month span. The original policy allowed up to 30 days, which concerned faculty and staff. But Perry notes most employees' collective bargaining agreements at Eastern don't currently allow for furloughs, including faculty. Perry says there are many who believe that layoffs should occur instead if need be, but others are debating that a temporary measure like furloughs would be a better option. EIU has taken other temporary cost-cutting measures in the past month, including a freeze on hiring and travel restrictions. African-American ministers from throughout Chicago say they'll work to help Democrat Dan Hynes win Tuesday's primary election for Illinois governor. Hines appeared with more than a dozen ministers and other supporters to demonstrate his support in the black community. Hines' opponent, Governor Pat Quinn, has bragged about having deep support from black elected officials. The ministers criticized Quinn for having called on Senator Roland Burris to resign from President Barack Obama's old Senate seat. The ministers also say they don't hold the actions of Dan Hines' father against him. Tom Hines left the Democratic Party to try to unseat Harold Washington, Chicago's first black mayor, more than 20 years ago. A humanities program at the University of Illinois will be expanding thanks to a $1.25 million grant from the Mellon Foundation. The grant will allow the Illinois Program for Research in the Humanities to bring in postdoctoral scholars at the rate of about 200 a year for the next 6 years. The IPRH promotes interdisciplinary study in the humanities, arts, and social sciences. Director Diane Harris says the Mellon Foundation grant will allow them to bring in faculty from outside the U of I for the first time. A minister says Stacy Peterson told him that her husband was wearing black and carrying a bag of women's clothes the night before his third wife was found dead in a bathtub. The Reverend Neil Shorey testified today during a hearing to determine what hearsay evidence jurors will be allowed to hear when Drew Peterson stands trial in the 2004 death of Kathleen Savio. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now, if you haven't dialed this number yet, please do it. It's 217-244-9455. We're looking for a total of 50 ag calls over the three-day period of our mini fund drive here at Illinois Public Media. We'd like your help along that way. Speaking of help, each and every Friday we get a help looking at the agricultural weather forecast from the folks at the Illinois Water Survey and the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. The director there is on the line with us this afternoon. His name's Steve Hilberg. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You've got cold, cold temperatures to talk to us about?
Yeah, it's going to be continue cold this weekend, much colder than normal. Had a little two-week break there with some milder weather. It wasn't the most perfect of times, a lot of low clouds and fog, but it did keep temperatures moderated. But this next few days will be more like January and early February with temperatures not much getting out of the teens, eventually the 20s, and then overnight lows down in the single digits.
How will January close out, speaking of that month?
It's going to close out above, rather below normal. Temperatures across the state, near normal in the north, but as much as 3 to 4 degrees below normal in central and western Illinois. So as a whole, when you look at the whole month in entirety, it will be a colder than normal month.
A little out of your purview, but I bet you've turned your eyes southward. What do you think of that big storm running across the southern part of the United States?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. A lot of snow going to be laid down there. Although, well, we've already had some in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arkansas, and it's started snowing in northwestern North Carolina already. But here in Illinois and in far southern Indiana, it'll be anywhere from an inch up near I-64 here in Illinois to perhaps as much as 8 inches over along the Ohio River. So any travel south over the next 24 hours is going to be a pretty dicey proposition no matter where you're headed.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, looks like a pretty quiet week for next week, a little on the cold side, but maybe a chance of snow Tuesday, but pretty tranquil for all things considered.
Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. He's located at the Illinois State Water Survey right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Speaking of which, that's where you get this program from. It's Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report, and it's a partnership with this radio station, the University of Illinois, University of Illinois Extension, and Dave Dickey, who's the Director of Ag Programming here, and you, the listener. And so we'd like you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, and pledge your support for the agricultural programming that we bring you, whether that be on the radio station, on the web, our text service, or on the phone line. It's all available to you, and we sure would like your help in funding it. The number to call is 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey, we're looking for a goal over the three-day period of 50. We were hoping to get close this afternoon. How are we doing?
We're at 41 calls right now, Todd. We've heard from 12 agricultural supporters this afternoon. A phone wave right now will put us over the top. Go to your phones at 217-244-9455. Remember, when you contribute at the $100 level, we have some great incentives for you. And also, the Common Ground Food Co-op will contribute three meals, the cost of three meals, to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank for that pledge. 217-244-9455. Let's go over the top.
Let's go over the top. Dial that number now, 217-244-9455. If you're online, please visit willpledge.org. For Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason.